Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Friday Night Specials with Diane Linning. We will start the show in just a few moments and enjoy the music. We'll be with you soon.
No more tears or broken dreams. Forgotten is the minor key. Everything as it was meant to be. And we will worship. And we will work.
worship the Lord together. Yes, we worship you, Lord. Hallelujah. So glad you're with us tonight. We have a great show planned. Praise the name of the Lord. That was Endless Hallelujah, sung by Matt Redmond. You can order most of these songs online that I play in our instruction of how to worship, and that way they can get some of their products sold. So you just Google online, Endless Hallelujah, Matt Redmond. Thank you so much for being with us. Welcome to Friday Night Specials with Diane Lenning. I'm so glad you're here with us. Let's open tonight in prayer. Remember, we're still hoping that you're learning to memorize this, because many Christians say this without looking. So it is found in Matthew 6, verses 9 through 13. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts, as we have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. Dear Lord, thank you for each one who's listening. We pray a blessing upon their lives, and that you would protect those who live in areas of the world where Christians are persecuted. Lord, we pray that you give them strength and solidarity with one another, and to remember to pray one another. For when two or more are gathered in your name, we know that you, Jesus, are there with us. We thank you so much for your promises and your words to us in the scripture, and the wonderful story we're reading about eternal life in the hereafter in the book of John. And we pray for those who are learning English that they will learn this language in order to understand a new and better way of living, and that it will bring them strength, and that it will glorify you, Lord. And that you will help those who are sick and infirmed to be healed in Jesus' name. For we know when we call upon the name of the Lord that you do heal and perform miracles even today. Thank you so much, Lord, for the miracles that we know you have performed and are yet to perform. We pray for our nation, America, God, that you would direct us with one mind and spirit with how to deal with the difficulties that we face on an ongoing basis every day. We pray for all the other governments of the countries of each listener, Lord, that you would deal with the hearts of men and women around the world, no matter what their country, that your purposes, God, will be accomplished and not man. We praise you and thank you for that in Jesus' name. Let's just listen to the rest of this song, and we'll be right back with you in about a minute or two. Praise the name of the Lord. We're so glad you're with us. We'll begin shortly. Again, this is Diane Lenning, your host, broadcasting to you live from the United States of America. Friday night, our focus is to reach out to the Eastern Hemisphere, especially Africa and Asia. But we hope that people are listening from all over the world and that you will join us on any of our nights. I have English every time, so hopefully that will help you, especially if you're trying to learn English. But for the month of December, I have decided to share with you some articles, very short articles that I have felt are very valuable and important and well written from one of the many Christian newsletters and magazines that I know about and receive. This one is from The Evangel, and the title of this little article is Gifts, Making the Most of Them. And we give many gifts at Christmas time here in America. And we have a Christmas tree, and it all stands for something. It all represents something. But the real reason for Christmas that Christians celebrate is the birth of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And it has grown into a time of giving gifts to represent the gift that God has given us in the birth of His Son. So out of gratefulness, we give to others to express God's love. So this article is written by Ken Horn. You may want to get yourself a piece of paper and a pencil or pen, because I have quite a few scripture references I can give you throughout this. I think you'll want to follow up and read about later. And as soon as you get that, I will give you the email address where you can contact Evangel, where this is published, and get it sent to you directly if you enjoy these articles. It is by donation, so if you are very strapped for money, they might just send it anyway, but they accept any amount of donation, however large or small, to help pay for it. So it is called, again, Gifts, Making the Most of Them by Ken Horn. I believe he's a staff writer who writes for them regularly on this front page. Let's get a little music behind this, because it's kind of interesting about Christmas. Gifts, Making the Most of Them. Christmas time makes us think about gifts. Gifts are important to God as well. Every good gift comes from Him. And it tells about that in the New Testament, in the book of James, chapter 1, verse 17. You may want to write that down, James 1, 17. Let's look at four things we do with gifts. Receiving is one of the first things about gifts. God never leaves anyone out. Look in 1 Peter 4:10 and find out about that. But not everyone is given the same gifts. And I've shared that before on the radio in 1 Corinthians 7, verse 7. And just let me add, there's never any reason to be jealous of other people's gifts, because God gives each one of us the gift that He wants us to participate in the body of Christ, as a part of the church body. And the Christian church body is all the believers around all the entire world. So if you're a Christian, wherever you live, whatever your income, whether you're rich or poor, man or woman, you are a part of the body of Christ. And He gives each one of us a gift to work together in one body, in one accord, in one mind, in the mind of Christ. So he is the same wonderful giver. There is rich diversity in what he gives. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 4. He gives gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. Another good verse is Romans 12, verse 6. No one is ever shortchanged. You may also want to look in 1 Timothy 6:17. What God gives is always a perfect fit. So trust God to know that the gift he gives you, he knows is the one that's perfect for you. So don't be jealous of others. Use the gift that he has given you to complete his purposes. You need to learn how to use some gifts. This doesn't just come automatically. Like a new smartphone or computer, you have to learn how to use them. Keep looking in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1. Sometimes frustration precedes fulfillment of using the gifts that God gives us. We teach children to appreciate gifts and take care of them. Spiritual gifts require the same care. So look in 1 Timothy 4:14 and find out about the care of the gifts God gives us. So we want to appreciate them and we want to take the care of the gifts God gives us. Be sure to get the full value of your gifts. 2 Timothy 1:6. And remember, some gifts can have hidden value or become more valuable or usable with age. They might have value that we don't understand yet or that we just don't realize. Another part of gifts is giving. Someone has to receive the gift in order for another person to be able to give it. Sometimes we're the giver and sometimes we're the receiver. But whichever we are, do all in gratefulness. I know some people are too proud to receive gifts, but remember, you're allowing God to bless the giver when you receive gifts with a grateful heart. Christians are givers. Children focus most on receiving gifts. As they grow up and mature, they begin to learn, or at least hopefully learn, that giving is an important part of life. Spiritual maturity develops this quality in Christians. The Bible is clear that Christians are to give generously and cheerfully. Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, 6 and 7. There is no resentment in a gift a believer gives. Rather, it delights his or her heart to give a gift. And another part of gifts is sharing. Believers are gifted for the purpose of sharing their gifts. 1 Peter 4:10. And benefiting others, look in 1 Corinthians 12:7. Our lives are to be guided by what has been given to us to use for others. Look again in 1 Corinthians 7, verse 17. God's purpose is for you to use what he has given you. And another part of gifts is returning. People frequently return gifts that have been given to them, but there are no refunds on spiritual gifts. Romans 11:29. Likewise, we are not to shove them in a closet and forget them. 1 Peter 4:10. Gifts and abilities entrusted to us as good stewards, if used, will bear fruit. Now, maybe you don't understand what bear fruit is, but stay with us over time. You will understand that. If not used, we lose big time. Matthew 25:14 through 30. Everyone benefits when we make the most of our gifts. So let's believe and pray and understand the importance of the wonderful phenomenon of giving gifts and receiving gifts. Sometimes they may not be exactly what you want. Sometimes they might not be brand new. But perhaps it just may be what you really need right now. So why not use it? When I grew up, most of the time we had hand-me-down clothes because I was from a family of five, and I was number four out of five. So I often had hand-me-down clothes from my cousin, who happened to be more the same size I was, since none of my four sisters, four of us girls, were the same size, believe it or not. But I was as my cousin. And hand-me-downs, oftentimes, more than save a lot of money, they show the giving spirit of the person who thought just of you and giving their hand-me-down. I remember once I got a coat with a velvet collar from my cousin, and we often wore a coat to church, and it fit me just right and was very cute, probably better than what my mom would have bought, because my aunt used to spend a little more money on her only daughter. So that was kind of special to me, that I got to share some of the clothes my cousin wore. Think of it in that way, and think of it as a blessing that God has given you in a different way. That article was written by Ken Horn. If you'd like to email about your comments or questions to him, or if you'd like to subscribe to the weekly, it's a short little pamphlet magazine called Evangel, E-V-A-N-G-E-L. It has good articles in it, uplifting articles with scripture references, and it's only about 30 pages long. And it tells about religious events around the world in the back. And sometimes they will have articles about other parts of the world, Asia and Africa, so it can apply to you wherever you live. And it's a very good magazine. We've read it probably for 40-some years now, and it's a very good article. You would email to pe@ag.org. That's the letter P, which might be like in prayer, E in evangel, and then the at sign, A as in apple, G as in great, and then dot org. Instead of .com, it's .org, O-R-G. You can email them and request this weekly magazine. Like I say, if you don't have any money, you don't have to send a donation, but if you can, it would be nice. Also, the phone number to the Evangel magazine is 1-800-641-4310. Again, that's 1-800-641-4310. And if you'd like to know the address for that magazine, I can give it to you as well. It is 1445 North Boonville Avenue, Springfield, Missouri, 65802. Again, it's 1445 North Boonville Avenue, Springfield, Missouri, 65802. If you'd like to send them any money, you can do that. But you're not required. It just helps pay for the cost of sending that out. So we hope you enjoyed that article. I'm going to read some this month, in the month of December, because they have some couple of Christmas articles in here I think might be beneficial and a blessing to you. So I will share that and perhaps give you an idea if you want to get that magazine or newsletter for yourself. I think you will enjoy it. So our friend John has not called in from Africa yet, but he usually doesn't call in for about 5 more minutes. So I'm going to play a song for us to listen to and enjoy. And then when we come back, if he hasn't called in, I'll start reading where we left off last time in John 19. So have your book ready in John 19, and let's listen to Here I Am to Worship. And that one is sung by, I have to look it up here, I don't know all these by heart. Here I Am to Worship is sung by Tim Hughes. Let's worship together, and I'll be back with you in just a few minutes. Here I am to worship.
beauty that makes this heart adore you, hope of a life spent with you. Here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me.
Last time we read about how the soldiers came and arrested Christ and they brought him before Pilate. And in that time, Peter had denied Christ 3 times. Then the rooster crowed. Now we're going to start at chapter 19. Then Pilate laid open Jesus' back with a leaded whip, and the soldiers made a crown of thorns and placed it on his head and robed him in royal purple. "Hail, King of the Jews," they mocked and struck him with their fist. Pilate went outside again and said to the Jews, "I am going to bring him out to you now, but understand clearly that I find him not guilty." Then Jesus came out wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. And Pilate said, which this is interesting. Just imagine you're there in this place. He's got this purple robe on. And the soldiers, etc., are mocking him. Pilate says, "Behold the man." At sight of him, the chief priests and Jewish officials began yelling, "Crucify! Crucify! You crucify him," Pilate said. "I find him not guilty." They replied, "By our laws, he ought to die because he called himself the Son of God." Now you imagine that today. If someone called himself the Son of God, would we believe that that's enough to kill him? When Pilate heard this, he was more frightened than ever. He took Jesus back into the palace again and asked him, "Where are you from?" But Jesus gave no answer. "You won't talk to me?" Pilate demanded. "Don't you realize that I have the power to release you or to crucify you?" Then Jesus said, "You would have no power at all over me unless it were given to you from above. For those who brought me to you have the greater sin." Then Pilate tried to release him, but the Jewish leaders told him, "If you release this man, you are no friend of Caesar's. Anyone who declares himself a king is a rebel against Caesar." At these words, Pilate brought Jesus out to them again and sat down at the judgment bench on the stone-paved platform. It was now about noon of the day before Passover, and Pilate said to the Jews, "Here is your king." "Away with him," they yelled. "Away with him. Crucify him." "What? Crucify your king?" Pilate asked. "We have no king but Caesar," the chief priest shouted back. Then Pilate gave Jesus to them to be crucified. Can you just imagine the situation? Jesus was a Jew among Jewish priests who were calling for him to be crucified because he called himself the Son of God. And my question in my mind is, did they really ever see, to discern or learn or discover if he was indeed the Son of God or the Christ that their own scripture spoke of? Apparently not. So they had him at last, and he was taken out of the city, carrying his cross to the place known as the Skull in Hebrew, Golgotha. There they crucified him, and 2 others with him, one on either side, with Jesus between them. And Pilate posted a sign over him, reading, "Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." The place where Jesus was crucified was near the city, and the signboard was written in Hebrew, Latin, and Greek, so that many people read it. Then the chief priest said to Pilate, "Change it from 'the King of the Jews' to 'he said, I am King of the Jews.'" Pilate replied, "What I have written, I have written. It stays exactly as it is." When the soldiers had crucified Jesus, they put his garments into 4 piles, one for each of them, But they said, let's not tear up his robe, for it was seamless. Let's throw dice, see who gets it. This fulfilled the scripture that says, they divided my clothes among them and cast lots for my robe. So that is what they did. Standing near the cross were Jesus' mother, Mary, his aunt, the wife of Cleopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother standing there before his close friend, he said to her, he is your son. And to me, he said, she is your mother. And from then on, I took her into my home. Jesus knew that everything was now finished, and to fulfill the scripture said, I'm thirsty. A jar of sour wine was sitting there, so a sponge was soaked in it and put on a hyssop branch and held up to his lips. When Jesus tasted it, he said, it is finished, and bowed his head and dismissed his spirit. The Jewish leaders didn't want the victims hanging there the next day, which was the Sabbath, and a very special Sabbath at that, for it was the Passover. So they asked Pilate to order the legs of the men broken to hasten death. Then their bodies could be taken down. So the soldiers came and broke the legs of two men crucified with Jesus. But when they came to him, they saw that he was dead already. So they didn't break his legs. However, one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and blood and water flowed out. I saw all this myself and have given an accurate report so that you also can believe. The soldiers did this in fulfillment of the scripture that says, not one of his bones shall be broken, and they shall look on him whom they pierced. Afterwards, Joseph of Arimathea, who had been a secret disciple of Jesus for fear of the Jewish leaders, boldly asked Pilate for permission to take Jesus' body down, and Pilate told him to go ahead. So he came and took it away. Nicodemus, the man who had come to Jesus at night, came too, bringing 100 pounds of embalming ointment made of myrrh and aloes. Together they wrapped Jesus' body in a long linen cloth saturated with the spices, as is the Jewish custom of burial. The place of crucifixion was near a grove of trees, where there was a new tomb never used before, and so because of the need for haste before the Sabbath, and because the tomb was close at hand, they laid him there. That is the story in one chapter of the crucifixion of Christ. There are much more descriptions and other descriptive passages and stories about it, but I think we will reserve that for another time because we're wanting to stay with the scripture of the book of John so that you can get the whole story in totality within a shorter period of time. Now that is a very serious story. That is the center point of the reason for Christianity. Christians believe that Christ died on the cross and shed his blood, as we just read, so that we can be forgiven. And he was the lamb sacrifice, the eternal lamb sacrifice, that we no longer had to do an annual blood sacrifice of a lamb as the Jews did every year that the high priest performed. And so there was no need for that anymore because Jesus now has become the eternal lamb sacrifice so that everyone of the world thereafter can have forgiveness of sins by asking and accepting Jesus as their Lord and Savior. We're going to give you opportunity now to accept the Lord Jesus if you haven't already. And if you have, please just share along with us so that others around may have that opportunity to receive the gift right now. God's best gift is His Son and the gift of eternal life that His Son brings. In John 3:16 it says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." John 1:2, "But as many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become children of God." Jesus said, "You must be born again to enter the kingdom of heaven." In Romans 5:8, "But God proves His love for us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." John 14:6, "Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. For no man cometh to the Father but by me. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have life more abundantly." In Isaiah 53:4-5, "Surely He hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows," yet meaning here on the cross, like what we just read. "Yet we did esteem Him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But He was wounded for our transgressions, our sins. He was bruised for our iniquities, our sins. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes we are healed." Praise the name of the Lord. We have those scriptures for us to claim salvation, to claim healing, and to know the reality of the story of Christianity is for each one who receives the gift of God. God wants each one of you to be in His family, but He's a gentleman. He leaves that choice for you to make, but it's a very easy choice to make, and you can make it right now with me. Let's pray together. Let's bow our heads and fold our hands. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for Your Son, who by dying on the cross gives us eternal life. I know that I'm separated from You and have been walking in darkness, but I want to walk in the light. I believe that Christ died on the cross and shed His blood for my sins. And now I receive Your forgiveness. I am willing to turn from my way and go Your way, walking in the light. Lord Jesus, I now invite You into my heart as my personal Lord and Savior, friend, and spiritual guide. I will follow and obey You as the Lord of my life. And help me, Lord, along the way in this Christian walk to listen to the guidance of the Holy Spirit that You sent to help us while we're here on earth. And help me to show the love of God in the actions of my life as I grow into the stature of Christ by the example He has given us in the New Testament. We praise and thank You for it. In Jesus' name, amen. There's something wonderful about that name of Jesus. And we're going to hear that song sung by Gloria Gaither. And I think it's a good time right now to just praise and worship the Lord for the angels and everyone else around is praising the Lord, that You have come to know the Lord and joined the family of God.
Jesus, Jesus. Jesus. Mere mention of his name can calm the storm, heal the broken, raise dead. At the name of Jesus, I've seen sin-hardened men melted, derelicts transformed, lights of hope put into the eyes of a hopeless child. At the name of Jesus, hatred and bitterness turn to love and forgiveness. Arguments cease. I've heard her mother softly breathe his name at the bedside of a child delirious from fever. And I've watched as that little body grew quiet and the fever brought cool. I've sat beside a dying saint, her body racked with pain, who in those final fleeting seconds summoned her last ounce of ebbing strength to whisper her sweetest name, Jesus. Jesus. Embers have tried to destroy it. Philosophies have tried to stamp it out. Tyrants have tried to wash it from the face of the earth with the very blood of those who claimed it. Yet it still stands. And there shall be that final day when every voice that has ever uttered a sound, every voice of Adam's race, shall rise in one mighty chorus to proclaim the name Jesus. For in that day every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is truly Lord. So you see, it was not mere chance that caused an angel one night long ago to say to a virgin maiden, his name shall be called Jesus. Jesus. Sweet Jesus. Oh, there is something about that name.
There's something about that name online. Just Google in your computer, in your search box. There's something about that name, Gloria Gaither. And you can order that song for your own enjoyment in order to learn how to worship with music. I believe worshiping with music greatly enhances your ability to focus your mind on worshiping the Lord. And many of these songs are written under the inspiration of the Lord. So I believe they will bless you in your worship. Now, I'm sorry our friend John has not been able to call in yet tonight. He had let me know he thought he would be able to. So I'm going to play another song in hopes that perhaps he will have time to call in. And let's do Lord, I Lift Your Name on High. And that one is sung by Stuart Townsend. Lord, I Lift Your Name on High.
Love to see.
and from earth to the cross to give us salvation. I know for some it sounds like an unusual way to receive the gift of eternal life, but that's the way God has planned it, and I believe it. And once you've lived as a Christian for a while, I'm convinced you will know you made the right decision. I've been a Christian for over 60 years, raised in a family of ministers and teachers and missionaries, and it's been a wonderful life. And if by chance you ever have someone come to Africa from World Map, that was my cousin, my mom's cousin, who started World Map in Burbank, California. Now his daughter and son-in-law run it, and they train ministers around the world. So I will eventually be sharing that information with you so you can perhaps have someone come to Africa, might even be my cousins, who go to Africa and they have a shepherd training for ministers around the world. In fact, they've been to Zimbabwe quite often, and they might be willing to go to other countries. So I'll give you that information again when I get their next newsletter. It's World Map, M-A-P. I don't know if that would show up when you Google or not. But his name was Ralph Mahoney, but his son-in-law has a different last name, Wendy. And I think it's John Parrish, if I have that correct. But I will give you that information when I look it up. Hopefully, in the next week or two, I could tell you about World Map, an organization that one of my family members started about 50 years ago. And that organization has been teaching and training ministers around the world for many years. And they have what they call camp meetings around the world. And so perhaps I'll tell about those so that people in different areas might want to attend. I think he has them in Canada and Africa and Asia and different places, and America as well. So I'm looking forward to sharing that information with you. I'm so sorry that John has not been able to show up tonight, which I thought he would, so we're going to be praying for him in our closing prayer, that whatever has caused him not to be able to call in will not be a serious problem. I know one time he dropped his phone and broke it, so hopefully it'll just be something not to worry about. But we do pray for all of you every week, and we hope that you'll pray for me and all those who help me in this show. We do have co-hosts on other weeks as well. We do have English and Thai, English and Spanish I'm doing, and I'm starting a new lady with Vietnamese. She wanted to wait till January because she's sick right now. And we do have some recorded and archived in Lao and Chinese. And I do hope to get my Chinese friend to come on again for Christmas. She recorded the Christmas story with me last year, but perhaps she'll do something else with me. We'd like to have something in the native language, as many as we can. If you speak one of the languages I haven't mentioned but would like to call in, we'd be happy to let you do that with us. You probably would need a Bible in your native language. And then what I do is I speak the English, and then you speak the same scriptures in your native language so that people can hear the Word of God in their native language. That's our goal here, that we can share the good news with as many people around the world as possible. So we hope you will tell your friends and neighbors and others about it, how they can go in at any time of day and listen on our archive shows at blogtalkradio.com/Diane-Lenning. But you do need the http://www.blogtalkradio.com/Diane-Lenning. If you just Google my name, Diane Lenning, D-I-A-N-E-L-E-N-N-I-N-G, you might be able to find the show. I know we have quite a few thousand people around the world listening who have found us. So we hope that there will be thousands more who find and hear about our show, that they can hear the good news and hear some good music that will teach them how to worship the Lord and focus their worship upon the Lord. Well, it's time to say goodbye again, but we look forward to when we will be together next time. And, of course, we look forward to when we'll see each other in heaven someday. And I can tell you, I'm the lady on the radio show who told you about the Lord, and you can tell me. I'm one of the persons who listened to your radio show and came to know the Lord Jesus because of your radio show. That would be wonderful to hear. And we praise the Lord for that, that you're a part of God's family with us. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this opportunity you've given us to share the Word of God, to help people become encouraged, grow in strength and stature, following the role model that Christ has given us in the New Testament, and at the same time, learn English. Hear English on a regular basis and try to pick up the language. We want to be able to communicate to one another. We so appreciate, Lord, this opportunity to contact each other, to have communication with one another, and to pray for one another. Although many I know are not able to call in because of the difficulty of cost or having a phone to call in to the toll-free number, I know that they're listening because the program shows there are thousands of people listening, and we so appreciate the person who connects with us and hears about the Lord and the good. We pray, Lord, for each one, that you would bless and nourish them and honor their household and heal any of those who are sick. Give each one wisdom through the guidance of the Holy Spirit of how to eat properly with good nutrition and how to keep their home and their supplies clean in order to provide good health. Help them to know good daily habits and to follow good patterns of living every day as they walk in the light. Some of it is routine because we know it to be right, best for us. Trust, Lord God, that you would reveal yourself to those who have yet to receive you. If you have not received the Lord yet into your heart, just ask the Lord. If you are real, reveal yourself to me, and I will accept it. He oftentimes does that. And we pray for you too, who have yet come to know the Lord. And we pray that you will join the family of God. Well, I'm sorry I've had a little bit of a sore throat tonight, but I've made it through. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. So we will play the rest of this song and then be saying goodnight and close. And of course, if John does show up, I'll let you know. But we are saying goodnight and look forward to hearing from you next time. Hope you will share this mural if you find it on a Facebook wall with others on Facebook. And hopefully it will spread throughout the world so people can hear about the Lord and how each one is part of God's family. Look forward at time. Every Friday night for Friday Night Special. Every Wednesday night for continuing in the Book of John. We're in a different spot in the Book of John on Wednesday night. We're not quite as far as you are. So if you do want to catch up, you can listen on Wednesday nights if you missed earlier parts of John. I think we're around 10 or 12, chapter 10 or 12. Plus, you can go to archives. So looking forward to meeting you someday, somehow, until we meet together, perhaps in heaven. Hopefully all of you in heaven. Thank you for joining us and listening and being a part of God's family around the world. Remember that God loves you and I love you. And let's love one another. Let's show God's love to one another. Let's resolve and purpose in our hearts to go from here and show God's love one to another. God bless you. Take care. Good night. Or good day. Bye-bye.